Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play on and stand strong. With Jolo and Dibs, turn the game on. Pump up the volume, it's time to play ball. With Jolo and Dibs, turn the game on.
All right, welcome to the championship rounds of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game, live from Miami Beach, site of Super Bowl 54. We are four days away from the biggest game of the season, your San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. We've got a lot to get to in the final hour. We're coming out with a bang right out of the gate. Jeff Garcia, former Niner quarterback, NBC Sports Bay Area, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. This was supposed to be a tag team. It was going to be you and Ian Williams. Yeah, not that right. Kind of tag team.
Whoa.
Not that kind
Whoa.
Of tag team.
Hey, super
guys are so unprofessional.
Hey, Joe.
So unprofessional.
Jody.
It was supposed to be you and Ian Williams, and Ian, who is consistently late with this program, I put odds that he was going to be late again. He is late. You are not. Very diligent, and I appreciate that.
Well, he must be eating still.
Speaking of which, would you would you like that?
I mean,
you can't eat a Danish.
Let me share the spotlight with Ian. I mean, you know, there's not enough room for Ian today on this show with me here.
Absolutely.
He's out.
Yes.
And I will eat a Danish right now, but I'll save it for later.
All right. I heard you guys were out together last night, the Clevelander. Nice time in Miami. Do you enjoy being down here?
It's been awesome. I mean, to be down here actually having a vested interest in the team that's here has been, I think, exciting for all of us. I mean, to not just be here just to be here, but actually have interest in watching a team be successful on the field, I think, is what it's all about. Been here since Sunday night, been busy, been doing some work with NBC Sports Bay Area, and having a little fun last night with the people of Miami.
Why not? Welcome to Miami. You're talking about this is a good time and having a good time working, have vested interest in the San Francisco 49ers. Oh, you think about this team and where it's come from, Jeff, and you've seen this team grow. You've seen this team have setbacks. You've seen them grow forward. What's the biggest thing that you've taken away from this team in the process in which they got here this year and how in which it's been built?
Just how unselfish they are. When you look at a team that really truly buys in to what Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have put together and started to develop here, the unselfishness, every single player is out there for one another, really putting on the line for each other. And when you talk about team sports, that's how teams are made to be successful. And I think this team has really built something special to where it's not just a one-hit wonder. They can be good for the years to come, just as to how they're wired and how they're put together. The addition of key ingredients on the defensive line, Dee Ford as a free agent signing acquisition, Bosa on the other end for a first-round draft pick, and then those first-rounders, Armstead and Buckner, stepping up their play, igniting a fire under that team on that side. As you know, Lo, hey, the foundations of great teams are built in the trenches.
No question.
You got to have an offensive line who can open up the run game and protect the passer. You have to have a defensive line that can do the same on the other side. Stop the run and get after the quarterback. And that makes everybody else that much better around them. We've seen how now they're a top-tiered team against the pass. Number one in the National Football League, defending the pass. Well, why does that happen? Because they're awesome up front. They get after the quarterback. They minimize the time that quarterback has to make decisions to get the ball out. Now, as a defensive backfield, you don't have to cover for 4, 5, 6 seconds. Now, they're going to be challenged in a way that they haven't quite been challenged come this Sunday with a special player, the magic man out there, Patrick Mahomes.
When you look at offensively in the run game, and you talked about the guys in the trenches, George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk, to have those unique players in this run game, is it impossible to underscore just how important those two are?
Oh, so important. They're awesome. when you talk about, you know, a fullback who plays the game, much like you, who takes tremendous pride in being physical, and then a tight end who is so unselfish, who is a game changer if he gets the ball in his hands, but is like, hey, look, if we're running the football and we're being successful, keep running it because I want to kill people when I hit them off the edge. And I want to lock down, whether it's a defensive end, a linebacker, or the chance to run over a defensive back, he wants to do it all. And you got to love that. It's contagious, man. When you have a guy or guys like that in the locker room who just take tremendous pride, you see now Sanders, Emmanuel Sanders, like, hey, I'm more happy to spring the block that got Mostert into the end zone. That's called unselfish football. That's why these guys are now creating success and building upon it, because they want to do that for one another.
Absolutely.
Jeff Garcia joining us here on 95.7 The Game. The Patrick Mahomes threat cannot be understated, but we were trying to figure out, if you're Kyle and you're the Niner offense, we've seen George Kittle used in a variety of ways this year. We've seen him have big offensive performances. The first Ram game comes to mind. The Atlanta game obviously comes to mind. And then we've seen games like in the playoffs where he's really only been targeted, say, six times. He's done a lot of blocking. He's helped pave the way for a running attack that's carried the ball damn near 90 times over the last 2 weeks. So how do you see the Niners deploying him? Are they going to need him to help protect against Frank Clark, or do you see him making an impact in the passing game this weekend?
I think, obviously, you can't underscore what he can do from a blocking standpoint, but no. Hey, you get him involved in the passing game because he's electric in that way. I think because of how they've played the last 2 weeks, I mean, Jimmy's thrown the ball 27 times collectively, right? But I look at it like this. They've been able to save a lot of their little tricks. Yeah. They're in their back pocket, Kyle's back pocket, just waiting to pull them out right now. Now, I think you need to get Jimmy into the game
early.
And hey,
give him the rhythm.
No, it's not a secret. Hey, quick screens, get the ball out of your hands. Hey, little flat routes, little stick routes by Kittle. Get the ball in his hands. Let him run over a couple guys. Get him involved early so that they just now build on that. You know that, hey, Kansas City's mentality is like, we're going to come up, we're going to stop the run. Well, you can try to stop the run. We're going to run a little play action, a little boot, a little movement. We can get the quarterback outside. We're going to dink and dunk, and we're going to exploit you in other ways. And that's what Kyle is so great about. And believe me, they don't walk up to the line of scrimmage with one play that they called in the huddle and we're going to run this no matter what. No. He's going to walk up to the line of scrimmage. He's going to have two or three options in his back pocket, and he's going to say, you want to do this, then I'm going to do that. And it's a chess match, and Kyle does a great job of preparing this offense, and that's what Jimmy is so good that people don't understand. Well, he's only thrown the ball eight times the last game. He hasn't been challenged in a month since Seattle. Well, you know what? He's making a lot of those decisions at the line of scrimmage mentally so that they are that good in the run game, because he's helping to put them in process the information.
A tremendous conversation with Jeff Garcia, now being crashed by former Niners defensive lineman. God forbid we hit any of our times with you.
I'm just letting you know.
I feel like I'm being trolled.
I got a text letting me know y'all was talking a little crap about me. And I wasn't eating lunch in the Uber, Jeff.
Garcia was too.
About it all.
Hey, Ian, whose clothes are those?
These are my clothes. What you mean? What you mean? These are my clothes.
Hey, too small, too big. Hey, Jeff. So we're in the studio, and he got mad because he was an hour late because of traffic. He said he left 2 hours. He said, don't blame me, the traffic. Now and today, they want to know what's the excuse.
Man, I went out last night. I'm in Miami, man. I ain't gonna lie to y'all.
That's a pretty good excuse. That's actually a pretty good excuse.
We always there, baby.
We was at the Cleveland.
I worked out this morning. We already got it in.
I was supposed to work out, too. I feel bad, man.
Yeah, I got it.
You didn't even get that workout in.
We got it in yesterday, though.
I got, you know, got a couple mounds in, did some shoulders, some traps. Your boy got it in this morning.
Look at him.
Knocked out a couple push-ups. 20 one-arm push-ups. Oh, your boy was working.
Are you done?
No, I'm just getting started.
He was doing push-ups on Instagram earlier. All right.
So, come on, Ian.
What do you got here? We're getting serious on this. We're 4 days away. We've got to get through all of our prop bets here. Jeff's been laying a lot of stuff out for us as well. We're trying to figure out with George Kittle, how do you see him being deployed in this game? Actually, you know what? I'm going to bring you in on the Frank Clark conversation. Frank Clark's been doing a lot of talking.
He did.
Have you noticed he's been doing? He's the only guy that's doing a lot of talking. It seems like he's taking shots at Dee Ford at every chance. You got to figure, if you're Dee Ford, very quietly, there's a rage building inside of you.
Very true. But Frank Clark backed it up last week. You know, know, he said what he said about Derrick Henry. He played very well. He set the edge. He did not let anything outside, and that's what they wanted to do with Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans, to really open up that run game. But he obviously, you know, he talks a little trash. And if you're going to talk some trash, you're going to give a team
back
some bulletin board. You got to back it up. You know how it is. You can't go out there and say what you're going to say and then end up like the Baltimore Ravens, like, we're going to play in the Super Bowl. We'll see y'all, and don't get to the Super Bowl. You can't say that and then look bad afterwards. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
And his teammates got to, and it's going to be interesting to see what his teammates, because if a guy does that, Jeff, we've been on teams where, you know, you play with guys that have those brash personalities, and you look at him like, all right, hope you back that up. But if they put that, out there, his team's got to back him up as far as defensively, right?
Because he's not the one blocking D-Ford.
Right.
His tackles, his tight ends, the guys on the offensive side of the ball are like, hey, man.
Chill out, man.
You're not the one that has to mess with Bosa and Ford on the edge.
Exactly.
I mean, because don't think that it's not igniting Bosa on the other side. It's like, hey, D, we're going to get it, man.
Yep.
We're going to get it. Let's go.
Right.
You know, and hey, the offensive tackles on the other side are like, hey, man, quiet down over there. Quiet down. Don't be calling out that guy.
Right.
No, but yeah, you're right. They got to back it up. But, you know, hey, it's called a quiet. Hey, that subtle, that flame is burning inside
that
these guys. And
yeah.
Overall, there was a conversation we heard yesterday about how when the representatives of the two teams playing in the NFC Championship game, the Niners and the Packers, came to Miami to check out the facilities. AFC team goes and checks out the Dolphins facilities because that's where they will be working out. Niners and Packers representatives went and checked out the University of Miami, which was where they will be working out. Turns out the field was in awful condition, and after a bunch of negotiating, Jed's putting up the tab to put an entirely new field out for essentially 1 week because the U's going to put in a new field when they go back for spring practice in a couple months. So my question is, you guys have played in big games. You've played on every possible surface. The week leading up to the Super Bowl, it's a bad field transitioning to a good field. Is that in your head at all, Jeff? Is there any point where you're thinking about that? Or is it just, look, practice is practice. We're going to be fine.
Yeah, practice is practice. I don't think you're thinking about that. I mean, obviously, hey, the game field will be awesome. You know, you want traction. You want to be able to play full speed in practice, and you hope that there aren't any issues when it comes to that. But you're not thinking about it, man. You're going out there, and you're just running your plays, and you're getting prepared mentally and physically, doing what you have to do.
How much are you looking at new installs or new plays this week? You said that Kyle's got stuff in his back pocket. They hadn't had to show it the last couple of weeks. Is it too late in the year to bring in any new plays, offense or defense? Do you stick with what you've been doing?
Well, I think defensively, you're kind of built how you're built. And Ian can talk about that as far as, hey, these are what we do. Yeah, obviously, you're going to have to make some adjustments because of how they can attack down the field. And you're aware of that. But from an offensive standpoint, there's always some minor adjustments. There are going to be some new things, new ideas based upon what you saw the last 2 weeks in watching Houston, watching Tennessee. What could they have done successfully versus that defense? How could we have exploited them better or given us opportunities to now exploit them come this week? There's a lot of carryover, though, as well, too, from what they prepared for in the previous 2 weeks that they didn't have to use.
Right.
And I think there's a lot that was left in the bag that Kyle has to utilize that they've been getting work on and can now carry forward to this weekend.
Jeff Garcia, Ian Williams, former Niners, also with NBC Sports Bay Area, are joining Joe Lo and Dibs here in Miami Beach, 957thegame.com. Tell me about athletespreferred.com. I know you're down here doing a lot of good work. I want to make sure we talk about that as well.
Well,
and then we'll talk about Ian's Mai Tai endorsement. We'll get to that as well.
It's all about health and wellness and recovery, especially as athletes. We put our mind and body through a tremendous amount playing the game of football for so many years. And looking at the benefits of what's out there for us from a legal standpoint, CBD is a product that people need to be educated on. It doesn't come from a marijuana plant. It doesn't have the THC that's going to make you high, but it can help your body recover. It can help with pain. It can help with it's all natural from the hemp plant, can help with the brain as a brain protectant. So, you know, I'm all about trying to be healthy, trying to stay active, especially having four young kids who are making their dad go run routes and throw the ball to them and do all those sort of things.
What's the age range of the kids?
8, 9, 10, 11. Stacked them.
8, 9, 10, 11.
Are you kidding me? 8, 9, 10, 11. Not
yep,
5, not
awesome.
6. Woo! Eight, those nine, first 4 years were probably something.
A lot of diapers.
Oh,
man.
My yeah. God.
Well, hey, you know, now they're growing up and they're all together, girl, boy, boy, girl. And
boy.
We're very blessed, yep. And it's awesome, man.
You're going to have 4 in college at the same time. You're going to be writing checks. So many checks.
So many checks.
I'm going to be in college, too. We're going I'm going
exactly.
back to school.
I'm going to the bar with you.
You know,
I'm going to, yeah.
The Rodney Dangerfield. Yeah. I get no respect. I'm going back to college.
Ian, I'm coming over to you in just a second. Jeff, I know you've got places you've got to be. Before we let you go, we're asking everyone that joins us a prediction for the game, if you've got one. We're going to put them all together for the end of the week.
Obviously, hey, I'm pulling for the Bay. Niners winning. I think it's going to be a little bit of a shootout, though. I think both teams are going to be in the 30s. I'm looking at a 37-31 Woo. Football game.
Beautiful. That is brought to you by FitAid, the number one post-workout recovery drink in America. Jeff Garcia, former Niner, with us here on 95.7 The Game, also with NBC Sports Bay Area. And now we turn our attention
to
Ian Williams.
Thanks, Jeff. You're the
best. Ian Williams. Thank you, Jeff. You know what, jokes aside, it's good to see you. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
You doing good? When'd you get in? Jeff's got here Sunday. He's looking good. He's getting his workouts in.
Yeah, we got in Sunday, too.
Yeah.
Same
workouts?
Well, we worked out a little bit the other day in that gym. You know, he was getting it. One of our other hosts, she was saying, like, I kept going because Jeff was in there just going.
Oh,
he was just doing this and then doing that. And you guys were just amazing. So I just felt like I just needed to keep going. And I was tired. I was exhausted afterwards. I'm like, Kelly, you can, you know, relax and you'll have to do everything that we're trying to do.
You know, you Kelly. Kelly, get your 10 minutes in and get out.
You want to get away.
Get to the pool.
Got a little thing on, you know. So, yeah.
How, you're from Florida originally. Are you
Orlando.
From Orlando. Orlando. Okay.
Orlando.
But you played. Okay, wait. Were you recruited by Florida?
I remember
you and I talking about Gainesville once.
Yeah, almost. Went there.
Okay.
I was very, very close to going there.
So do you like Miami? You like being back here? Because we're talking about the humidity. I like being here.
I haven't been out here in a while. Actually, since my surgery that I had out here. This is where I had my... my
a lot of people come here for surgeries, huh?
I didn't come here for surgery. I came out here to start training. It was right after the 2015 season. So in 2016, I was coming out here to Pete Bomarito's, to start training and stuff like that, get ready for OTAs. And that's when I had my surgery. That's when everything happened at the University of Miami. That's what I had the surgery. So
okay. Yeah.
So you probably got people you know up and down the street this week, friends from college,
a little something like that. Maybe not friends from college.
He got them,
but yeah, I got friends.
He got friends.
Low.
I'm talking about. What's wrong with you, bro? I'm talking about you got friends, man. You was here in Florida, bro. It's all good.
Okay, biz.
Okay, well, we talking about friends, man. I got friends on the Niners. You got friends on the Niners. We're talking about this Super Bowl.
Big transition right here. Big professional transition. This is Bochy going to the bullpen type stuff right here.
Hey, when you look at a guy like Frank Clark and you think about a guy, who was there, D Ford, in Kansas City, people say, okay, the Niners going to say, I'm going to run at him because they have the ability to run at Clark and they're saying, we're going to test him out. We're going to run at him. We're going to try to make him play defense for you, wear him out on third down, different things they do. Will Kansas City, in your opinion, even though you got D Ford and you know what he is, will they try to run at him? Or do you think, because they're a passing team, that's not what they're due, that's not their forte, they're not going to have that same type of approach?
If they get put in certain situations where that first or second down, if Patrick Mahomes comes out and he looks at his box count and it looks favorable where they got numbers and they see D Ford out there, obviously he was there in Kansas City, so they know exactly what he can do and what he can't do. They didn't bring him back. They traded him for a reason because something was going on where they felt like they couldn't get over the hump with him. So they brought in Frank Clark. So obviously if they know, if they've watched even more film on D Ford than they have anybody else because he was there. So they know exactly what he can do, like I said. So I mean if the time presents itself like on first and second down, like I said, if they have the box count, they're gonna check the ball and they're gonna run the ball at
okay.
him. Obviously. I mean it's the safest route to be able to get from point
but
A to point
B. But that's not
e.
who they are. So that's what they may do that.
Yeah,
that's, okay.
I mean just like last week when we played Green Bay. You know what I'm saying? It was a 3rd and 8, and we checked it to inside zone to Raheem Mostert, and it was a touchdown. It just caught the defense off guard because they're in their exotic
nickel packages and stuff, right?
Exactly. And they're roaming around and stuff like that. And, okay, you can roam around. Oh, I got a defensive end, and I have a D tackle inside that guard right. I have a huge gap right here, and the linebackers are moving and trying to disguise stuff and stuff like that. All right, I'm going to check this for Raheem Mostert, and bam, touchdown to 3rd and 8.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if they see that, like on the first or second down, and because they run a lot of 3-by-1, three receivers to one side and one to the other side. So if they see that and they have a certain favorable matchup, they'll definitely run the ball.
Okay. Does that change what the Niners want to do defensively, the fact that they have 4 and 5 wide receiver sets? I know the Niners, Joe was saying, they like to play a lot of zone, but with the speed of Kansas City, do you play less zone, or do you figure that, hey, we've been so good at what we do, we're just going to stick with it no matter what?
Well, when you go 3-by-1, especially what they like to do, they like to put Travis Kelce on one side, and then they like to put Miko, Tyreek, and Sammy on one side. And it kind
of, that's a lot of speed over there, man.
It's a lot of speed over there. Woo. So it forces your coverage to obviously have to leverage that. So you have to move everything over. Then you have a tight end over there. So it's where's your you have a run strength and you have a passing strength each time. That's where the safeties roll usually to the passing strength, and then the defense line and linebackers, they leverage the run strength.
Right.
So obviously if you have a tight end that not only is he next to the tackle, he's now flexed out a few yards. So now that stretches out the coverage, and then also tells you what they're in. So if you have a linebacker right there, you have a safety right there, you have a DB right there, kind of tells you exactly what the coverage is. So that 3-by-1 is going to present us a lot of problems. So depending on, you know, our coverages, and especially because we want to run a lot of cover 3, a lot of match principles. So cover 3, what are the weaknesses in cover 3? The seam. So look for a lot of motions, and they look for a lot of seam routes, and the seams is like right up the number. So if any time we don't get a jam on one of those inside receivers, and now we have a 2-on-1 on our safety running the seams, like that's where we're going to have problems. Exactly.
Put pressure on that safety.
But do they have time to be able to run those type of routes with the type of pass rush that we have? You know what I'm saying? You have to get the ball out in 3 to 4 or 5 seconds. You know, those type of longer developing routes where you want to run verticals and get, you know, a Tyreek Hill and a Mecole Hardman on Jaquiski Tartt. Now, which way do you roll? So does Patrick Mahomes look off to the left to Tyreek Hill to be able to throw it to Sammy Watkins on the backside of that seam? That's the kind of things it presents itself, especially if you don't get a jam. But go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask you. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we're coming up on the end of it, but I want your prediction. All of our guests that are coming on this week, we're putting the whole thing together. So when it's all said and done come Sunday, how do you see this thing playing out?
I'm a one-up Jeff. I like his prediction in the 30s. I'm going to go 40s.
Man, we're all thinking 40s, over man. Here. We got everyone thinking over. What do you got?
I'm going to go 40s. I'm going to go, it's going to be similar to the Saints game. I think we have two, even though it's
that's a Super Bowl
there. It's a great offensive versus a great defense. I know it's going to butt heads, but I feel like something's going to break. And it's going to be like a 48 to like 45 type of game. And it's going to be up there. And it's going to be a different Super Bowl than it was last year. All these people, that was a terrible Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I hated it. It was no offense. It was amazing football. If you actually know what you're looking at and know what you want to see. It was great communication. It was great defensive football and its strategy. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if anybody plays spades. I love to play spades. We should do that
all the time. I can teach you. Like
one of the best.
Yeah. Teach me. Really good spades.
Top 5 in the world, I hear.
Without a doubt.
Probably a wild exaggeration.
Yeah, Joker Joe Deuce Deuce.
I'll get you up out of there real quick.
Oh, this is going to be something for social media. All right.
We're going to
have a little
showdown.
Spade showdown.
Put
your money where your mouth is.
All the predictions.
Sandbags and all that stuff. You lose 100. I'm with you. Whatever you want
to
do.
All those predictions brought to you by FitAid, the #1 post-workout recovery drink in America. Look at you two. Joker, dude.
Feeling like
deuce.
A little Bure. Who's feeling like a little Bure right now?
Oh, no, I'm going to leave that alone.
We're going to stay clear.
What is Bure?
Bure's going to get us in trouble.
In between Bure, you too young. You don't mind that Bure, boy.
Man,
been around, boy. You get Bure.
Give me a new nickname for our show. Joker, and Deuce.
There we go.
Ian Williams, always a pleasure to see you. Thank you for coming by. Former 49er, NBC Sports Bay Area, sponsored by Bay Alarm. We got a lot coming up. We are extraordinarily overfloweth in notes and everything else. So we're just coming back. Super Bowl 54 coverage continues from Miami Beach. Your business is unique. Whether you have one location or a dozen, a retail space, office, or restaurant, Bay Alarm has a security system that meets your specific needs. Bay Alarm, what have you got to lose?
The Road to Miami, brought to you by Merriwest Credit Union. Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Who likes eating? Who likes drinking? Schroeder's $50 gift certificate. Call The Game right now. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Warriors played in Philadelphia against the Sixers last night. Before the game, the Sixers raise Kobe Bryant's lower Marion jersey and retire it to the rafters. Right now, call the game. If you heard Warriors wrap up, you probably know it, so you got a better chance to win. Even if you didn't hear it, call in. Just take a shot on what the call of the game was. It's a chance to win a $50 gift certificate to Schroeder's. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. First person, front of the line, gets on the air. All right, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Keep them coming. Let us know what you think. For those who have watched the Instagram feed today, we have been running this show on Instagram, at 957 The Game on Instagram. Let us know what you think. If you've enjoyed it, it might be something we'll be able to continue. And, as always, the greatness that is Jolo and Dibs on Miami Beach, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Woo, what a day. What a day. Nice little tag team action right there with Jeff Garcia and Ian Williams. Ian sounded pretty sharp for someone who got it in last night. Late, but closed strong, I would say.
He did.
Strong.
He did a great job of closing. I was worried about Ian, but Ian came through. He was solid. He brought some great takes and a lot of energy. And, you know, Jeff. Jeff's solid, you know, speaks with the emotion, talked about the importance of this game. But everyone thinks how high scoring this game is going to be. I don't see both these teams getting to 30. I think one team will and the other one won't. So don't know who it's going to be. But I think you're going to see more of a defensive effort out of both these teams. And everyone thinks they're scoring. I think there's going to be huge emphasis on defense. I really believe this Niners defense is capable of keeping this Green Bay team under 30. The number I've been saying all week, they got to think, they got to get over 30. If it happens to be more than 30, then I think that that's where the tide swings for Kansas City.
I think that ideally for the 49ers, it's limiting possessions for Kansas City, which would lead this game to lean more toward the under. If it gets into a track meet or into a shootout, I don't know if, and I know that Jimmy G and the offense did it against New Orleans, but this is a different stage. This is a different moment. I don't necessarily see this game being that high scoring. And Ian was talking about 48-41 or 47-41. That's darn near 90 points combined in a Super Bowl. I think it will be a contrast to last year, which was very low scoring, but I don't necessarily think it's going to be that high scoring.
All right, it's time for Call of the Game, brought to you by Metro by T-Mobile, the best deal in wireless. Hopefully you caught Warriors wrap up last night with Ryan Covey and Whitey Gleason and heard the call of the game. We're going to go to Daniel in Napa right now. Daniel in Napa, this is your chance to win a $50 gift certificate to Schroeder's Restaurant, located at 240 Front Street in San Francisco. Daniel in Napa, what was last night's call of the game?
Hey, fellas, happy Super Bowl week. It was Draymond Green's block that went out of bounds after he blocked it.
Draymond Green's block that went out of bounds after he blocked it. Take a listen.
Horford high low to Harris, blocked by Draymond. He said, not on my watch.
Hey-o! Yet another winner, courtesy of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Great job, Daniel and Napa. Knocked that one out of the park. As it is a Warrior Wednesday, brought to you by Porsche of Walnut Creek, a Michael Stead dealership. I cannot for the life of me figure out which way I would go on this total. Everyone's talking high scoring versus low scoring. It's sitting at 54.5. People keep asking, which way are you going? What do you think? I don't know. I got an opinion on just about everything. I got a bet on just about everything. I do not know what to play.
Well, make a case both ways for us. Let me hear your both ways. I'd like to hear it.
The case for the over is the Chiefs. There's your case. The Chiefs, I do not like the idea. I do not like the idea of playing an under in a Chiefs game. Not because that it's any disrespect to the Niner defense. They can score so fast. There are high-scoring teams that require time. The Niners, believe it or not, are a higher-scoring team. But they don't necessarily strike two-play drives, four-play drives. They will work their way down the field consistently on you. The defense may force a turnover, and then the offense punches in, and it takes some time. That's why they're fourth in the NFL in time of possession. The Chiefs are like bottom eight in the NFL in time of possession, and they are right up there with all the scoring metrics. So if you're betting against that Chiefs offense, it's not beyond them to just put 14 points up in 3 minutes. That worries me a little bit with the Chiefs.
Right.
On the flip side with the Niners, I think they're going to get theirs. I don't think this is going to be a Niner game like we saw in Baltimore, which was rainy, or Washington, which was rainy, or any of the games where they may have struggled to put points on the board. They're healthy. They've got the full complement of offense, and Kyle Shanahan, with 2 weeks to get ready, is going to have a great, great game plan intact. Plus, the Chiefs are better on defense than they used to be, but they're not elite. If this were the Baltimore defense, we might be having a different conversation, but we're not. We're talking about the Chiefs. So I could see a lot of points because I know the 49ers can get theirs, and I think the Chiefs can get theirs as well. So I think that's the obvious one. The case for the under is a very different case. It's predicated on two things. One, bucking the grain, right? How often does everybody come together, say the same thing, and it turns out to be right, especially when it comes to a bet, right? So everyone's talking about the over. Every single person we've put on is picking a high-scoring game. That has me thinking about the under. Fade the public. That sort of thing. Plus, if the Niners are going to win this game, I could see a scenario where it's a 5-minute drive, a 7-minute drive, a 9-minute drive. Run the ball, grind the clock, keep Kansas City on the sideline, and just methodically work your way down the field. And then, again, it's a good defense, really good defense. With Tart, Alexander, and Ford back on all three levels, this team has completely reshaped itself. And I don't think Kansas City is going to have the opportunity at times to score like they did against Houston. Houston is a garbage defense. They were 29th against the pass, and they took a 24-0 lead and immediately got blown out of the water. It takes a rare soft spine to have a 24-0 lead evaporate in that first half like that. You need a terrible, absolutely terrible defense, and that's what they have. Kansas City doesn't have that, so that's what has me leaning to the under. Those are the takes, and you can see why. Passionate about both. I am just split down the damn middle. I cannot figure it out.
Kansas City scored on six consecutive possessions, touchdowns, by the way, and they put up 51 in that game. I like what you were saying as it pertains to the Niners' defense, and really, for me, what you were saying too, Lo, about the red zone defense. If you can make Kansas City have 8, 10, 12-yard drives and have them culminate in field goals, that leads toward the under. And I also think that the Niners' ability to run the ball and their ability to use time of possession to their advantage, and maybe they don't cash in on touchdowns as readily. I like this game, and I've liked the under from the start, right away when we came out on the Monday, and you threw out the opening number and the fact that it had been bet up by a couple of points. I think that it might go up another half or another full point. It might get up to 55. What's it, 54 and a half right now?
54 and a half. Someone was asking me yesterday. I was talking to our old friend JT the Brick, and he goes, where do you think the buyback is? Where's the resistance? I don't know. He thinks maybe it gets to 55. They're talking in Vegas. That's where you'd see some pushback. If 55 hits tomorrow, why would anyone push back on that? Why not wait to see if the public moves it up even further?
31-24 is 55, and that to me is a high-scoring game. So even if you look at that result, 31-24, either way, that would be bang on the number if it was 55. I think ultimately the Niners' defense and their ability to run the football limits the number of possessions for Kansas City. And if they can play good red zone defense and allow three instead of six, I like the under.
Yeah, the first one at 30 wins this game, in my opinion. I just think that
you think 30 is enough to win the game.
I think that's bold.
I think
that you look at these teams and both of them, it's like you said, the Niners can score and so can Kansas City. It's going to be hard to hold Kansas City to 21 points. Three touchdowns. Joe Dibbs, you just talked about them scoring. It's not six drives in a row, six touchdowns in a row. That's crazy. That's unheard of. It's unprecedented. But the Kansas City does it, so it's not when you're talking about unheard of, because Kansas City, they're exception. They're not the rule. So I look at this game, and I think that the Niners' defense is good enough to hold this team under 30. To me, they can do that. I think the offense is good enough to score them in 30. I think if you can do that, I think you have a legitimate chance of winning this game. I just don't know the Niners offense is going to go out there and get you much more than 30. 30, 32, that's a great number for the Niners. And they say, look, defense, hold this team to 28. If they can do that, I think they're doing a hell of a job.
I could not envision what your stomach and your mind are like in the, say, 2 to 3 hours before kickoff. You could. But I could not imagine what that's like. I keep thinking about trying to be one of these guys. As I try to handicap the game, I think about, like, how are the nerves going to get to you? Is there a way any human can just be above the nerves for this, above the emotion that comes with this game? It is the pinnacle game of this sport. It is nothing that comes close to it. You were there. I mean, like, what was the hour buildup like?
Well, you can say your emotions. You can keep them in check. And, yeah, you do. You keep them in check. You go through your ritual. I'd go out and I'd run. I'd put on, you know, God's property and do my workout and same ritual, go work out in the stadium.
GP, are you with me?
Oh, yeah.
And so, well, you do that, you do your thing, go through your ritual, and then you come back in, you do, you know, do what you need to do. And then when you come back out, so you can control it then, and then once you come back out and you see the lights and they do the national anthem and you look around and your heart just starts, and your heart and your mind gets carried away in the moment. I'm the little kid in the backyard. I'm the high school kid. I'm the college kid. And now I'm living my dream and I'm at the highest. There's no other game. It's the football heaven. There's no other game on this earth that's bigger than that football game. That's when you say, oh my God, I'm here. I must play my best game I've ever played in my life.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Jed York has come up big on two fronts. We talked about one a little earlier. If you missed it, we got it for you next. Plus, another front that got barely any mention, and it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. We're going to have that, plus the preview of what's to come later today as we roam Miami. Joe Lowe and Dibs from Miami Beach here on 95.7 The Game.
The Road to Miami, brought to you by Ameriwest Credit Union. Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to Miami Beach. Side of Super Bowl 54 between the Niners and the Chiefs. It's your boys, Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Starting today and probably through the rest of the week, we're going to be streaming this show on our Instagram account, which is at 95.7 The Game. People have been demanding Lowe do push-ups. Lowe did push-ups. Believe it or not, we give him a lot of grief, but he is a man of the people.
Yes.
He requests, and he delivers. So a couple things to promote. That will be happening during the show the next few days. If it's not on, it means we're probably in commercial break. But the rest of the time, we're trying to stream it. So that's number one. Number two, later today, the Facebook AMA, Ask Us Anything, AUA. But it's kind of like Ask Us Kinda Anything, AUKA, AUKA. AUKA is what we're
AUKA.
Going for. That's going to be at 2:30. 2:30 Eastern.
All right.
11:30 Pacific. Yeah. So 11:30, that's on Facebook. So if you want to watch the three of us from a tropical destination here in Miami, we're going to be hanging out, shooting the you-know-what, kicking around some ideas and answering your questions. That is today at 11:30 a.m. Pacific on the Facebook page at 957 The Game. And in addition to that, regarding tomorrow's show, we're action-packed and stacked from top to bottom. Here's just a sampler, just a tip of what we have in store for you tomorrow. In the 7 o'clock hour, Phil Sims.
Bill.
Also in the 7 o'clock hour, Boomer Esiason and Ron Jaworski. We're going quarterback heavy in the 7 hour. We're working on Lawrence Taylor.
Wow.
One of the two great LTs to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. So that's what we're thinking about. I see LT right now. So there it is. We're probably get everything set up, work on that, but here we are. Here we are, Wednesday. We wake up tomorrow. We've got two more shows, and we've got 3 days. Waking up tomorrow, we will be 3 days from Super Bowl 54. How does this compare so far? I know you've only been here for a couple days now, Dibs, because we got in Monday night.
Yeah.
How does this compare to when you guys were in New Orleans for the Super Bowl Niners and Ravens a few years ago?
This is a little bit bigger from a production standpoint. That was about the time where these radio stations started to do real, TV productions, and the TV stations started to do big sets as well. I don't know if you've been down Ocean Drive a lot, but Fox, for example, has not one, but three or four gigantic outdoor sets. So from that standpoint, the media presence has gotten even bigger than ever before. Now, the people who are going to come to the game, they'll probably start coming in today, tomorrow,
closer to actual game
day. So I haven't gotten a full sense of the fan reaction, but Miami and Ocean Drive and just all the area here in South Beach, it's not dissimilar to what you have in Bourbon Street in New Orleans.
Yeah, and I think that you're right. It hasn't got bigger. The production, you're absolutely right, Daniel, when you talk about the production. I'm running on the beach yesterday, and not just ESPN and Get Up and all those shows are out there, but you even have NASCAR and car racing and FSA. All these shows are out there. So it's kind of like that, even a piggyback of doing a Super Bowl, just bringing all their stations out, Joe, and they're talking football, they're talking from car, everything. So it's just interesting how everyone came out and built their platform off the Super Bowl. This is definitely different production.
You'll notice if you have the Super Bowl like Fox does, you'll have the massive imprint. One of our old friends works at Fox. He was telling me that apparently the beach volleyball community is livid at the Fox set because it took out a bunch of volleyball courts for the week.
There's only a couple courts actually down there. I was thinking about jumping in a game. They had a little 6-on-6 going. I was about to you know, throwing the board shorts.
We can't let you see that. I'd love to watch you out there. Trust me, if you want to go out there, I promise I'd come and film it. We'll let the listeners, let them watch it. I'll Facebook Live that to see
you
out there.
Still have some skills, not the same skill level I had, obviously, when I was in my 20s sure. playing every day. But it's the kind of sport you can still play even as you get to your advanced age.
All right. A little beach action out there. We'll see if that ends up shaking down. In terms of nightlife, you've only really experienced one night. You were both out last night a little bit, saw some of the action that was going on. And again, it's not later in the week when everyone's here. How did that compare to New Orleans?
It's not quite there just yet, but, you know, you've got Bourbon Street, which obviously is the hub, versus Ocean Drive, which is kind of similar to that. But you and I were able to go to the media party, which is on the other side of Miami.
It was neat to go to that.
Yeah, super fun.
It was great. They were rolling cigars, freshly cigars being rolled out there, and just being able to network and meet different people. You know, I made fun about JD dancing. No, JD wasn't doing the two steps. Just out there, just having fun. It was great to see it, see a lot of people you meet, you see, just the stories. And then, you know, hooking up with some of the crew last night. We went over to Cleveland for a little bit there, Dibs and I, and met some guys and just had a good time. And it was just neat just to go out and talk to the guys. Feel great this morning since I, you know, didn't have no shots, so I feel, you know, great, still was able to get my workout
in. Funny because you were buying shots and somebody said to me, oh, Lowe's getting it in. I said, no, he doesn't drink. And then they said, no, but he's over there doing shots. I said, well, if he was doing a shot, it was a shot of water. If I didn't even see you do a shot, but I know you bought a round of shots for some of the crew, and I was telling people, no, he's not going to break his four-year run doing just some random shot at a bar in South Beach.
Our old boss. Great discipline.
Our old boss.
Congratulations to you on your discipline.
Our old boss, he was laughing. He's like, I can't believe you're doing. He said, I should do that. Because I was telling him about it. And he was watching me. He was like, I can't believe you're buying drinks. I can't believe you're buying all these drinks. And then with the shot, I got our good friend Pops one. And I was like, all right. And I did my little, told him to put a little ginger ale, a little Coke.
That's what that was.
Make it a little dark.
A little ginger ale.
Yep. A man of many tricks. I've been the victim of that many times.
Yeah.
Got me banned from Utah. In San Francisco. Let's go to the Cheesesteak Shop. The Cheesesteak Shop in Pleasanton.
Let's go.
Where Bonte, Steiny, and Guru are on location today. Matt Steinmetz joining Joe, Lowe, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Steiny, how's it going? How you guys doing?
We're doing well. I got to make one small correction. We've got Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky in for Guru. Guru battling through something.
Oh.
Yeah, he was sick yesterday, got through the day, and he decided not to give it a shot today.
He's listed on the injury report as out with something in parentheses.
Out, that's illness. Yes. It's just illness. You don't get the lower body injury. It's an LBI.
Definitely lower body.
So what are you guys thinking in the buildup? We only got a couple shows left, a few shows left before the end of the week. I mean, where are you landing on this game? What's the concern level so far? Are you feeling confident for the Niners heading in?
We have approximately 3 more days to talk about that. So what I want to talk about is a guy who buys shots for people he's with, but fools them because he's not drinking them himself.
Wow.
I got a problem with that.
You got a problem with the generous nature of one Lorenzo Neal buying drinks for people.
If I understood correctly, Lorenzo Neal was buying shots for people and they were under the impression that he was also doing them. They were doing it with him.
Yeah, this is true.
Can
this
he live?
True. Yeah, that ain't right. Hey, Steiny, that ain't right.
Steiny, here, let me tell you why.
That ain't right, Lowe.
Steiny, here, let me tell you why it is right. Because everyone goes out there and they're drinking. They don't even care. They just want something in your hand. It's the perception versus reality. I was one of those guys. You'd be saying, have a drink, drink. And even if someone's drinking water and they made it look like it was a shot glass, you think they're drinking with you. You want them to enjoy. As long as they don't know, they don't care. That is so true.
No, you know what I'm saying?
Joe?
Don't fall for this. This is a classic job.
I bought the drink for them.
Let me make it clear. It's not about you buying them shots. That's a great gesture. And it's even not about you buying them shots and saying, guys, I'm buying these for you. I'm out. That's also a wonderful gesture. Why the subterfuge and deception?
It's not. Here's the thing. You have one more time, Steiny. This is what you need to realize. People want to engage with them. They drank a shot because they want you to be a part of the experience. All I do is get something, the perception that it looks like a shot. They feel happy that we all enjoyed. So, Steiny, with that, I'm out.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what. You know, I don't know. It's Deuteronomy.
Today round.
Leviticus or something. Thou shalt not wear masks. I'm not with this at all.
That was Corinthians, I believe.
Where's Butcher Boy at right now? How's he feeling? I'd imagine he is just over the moon that the Niners are a few days away from the Super Bowl.
Well, he's not on.
And you don't. I don't want to hear from him.
I got 4 hours.
You can relay his emotions to me.
Hey, let me tell you about seriously who's coming up because we got some great guests: Adam Kaplan, Dante Hall, Bryant Young, and George Chihiri. And you say, who's he? He's the guy who feeds Chris Collinsworth his analytics during the game. So looking forward. He's from Pro Football Focus. So looking forward to the show today.
That's going to be a great show. Thank you for sharing that with us, man. Good luck.
All right, guys. Hey, listen, trust me. Have fun down there. I don't bear any ill will. I can't.
No, it doesn't
say
sound
that
like it's Danny. That's not how that's coming across.
No, absolutely. I can't say the same for the guys on my left. But hey, you know they're happy to be here in Pleasanton at the Cheesesteak Shop, and things are just starting to get rolling here, bro.
Remember, the whiz goes on the roll, then the steak. People get it wrong. They put the steak on the roll, and then they drizzle the whiz, and it makes a mess. You put the whiz on first, then the steak goes on the roll. You know that, don't you?
I will inform.
All right, we are done. Joe Low and Dibs from Miami Beach. We'll catch you tomorrow at 6 a.m., but also the Facebook AMA, 11:30 Pacific on Facebook.com at 957 The Game. See you, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.